We're about this term to head back into Exodus. We were looking at the book of Exodus earlier in this year, and then we took a break. We've been elsewhere, in the book of James particularly, and a couple of different things the last 2 weeks. But from next week, we're going to head back into Exodus and pick things up at chapter 16 and work our way through to chapter 24. So this morning is a bit of a sort of reorientation, getting our minds back, getting some help from God's word, not in Exodus, but from two other places that are going to give us direction for what we should expect in this part of the book of Exodus. We're hoping to be looking at this in Sunday Club, which we hope will start next week, as well as here in church, as we carry on in here together. Now, our first reading is going to come from Deuteronomy chapter 8. So if you've got a Bible on your phone or a paper version, then do find Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to have read to us verses 1 to 5, and Amy's going to come forward and read it for us. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 5.
A good land to be possessed. Obey faithfully all the laws that I have given you today, so that you may live, increase in number, and occupy the land which the Lord promised to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you on this long journey through the desert these past 40 years, sending hardships to test you so that he might know what you intended to do and whether you would obey his commands. He made you go hungry, and then he gave you manna to eat, food that you and your ancestors had never eaten before. He did this to teach you that human beings must not depend on bread alone to sustain them, but on everything that the Lord says. During these 40 years, your clothes have not worn out, nor have your feet swollen up. Remember that the Lord your God corrects and punishes you, just as a father disciplines his children.
I wonder what you can remember from Exodus, where we got up to with the story. God's people, just a family at the beginning of Exodus, Jacob's family, and they're in a place called Egypt. And they were held as slaves, weren't they? And they groaned to the Lord for him to rescue them. And the Lord raised up Moses to lead them. And Moses asked Pharaoh to let God's people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And then issued the plagues. Remember the plagues that God brought on the Egyptians? And then the final plague, the death of the firstborn son and the Passover. And Pharaoh said, yes, go. And then he changed his mind and said no. And he chased after God's people, and they were trapped on the shore of the Red Sea. Do you remember? But what did God do? Well, he parted the Red Sea, and he enabled his people to come through, to be free from slavery and free from Egypt. Well, God then doesn't sort of leave them as they are. They're now on their way to the promised land. He's got his people from a family becoming a nation. But this next section, as we work through Exodus, we're going to see what God is up to with his people. What is God doing to mold his people, to shape his people? I've got some things here under our label for this section that are going to help us this morning. So I've got a walking stick. I hope that doesn't belong to somebody. I've got a doctor's kit. I hope that doesn't belong to somebody. I've got an L plate. I don't know if that's going to stand up. There we go. And I've got, slightly bigger, I've got a traffic cone. Now, I didn't pinch this on the way in this morning. We own a few of these just for special occasions outside the church. Four things that are going to help us understand what is God doing as we head back into this part of Exodus. First one we're going to look at, the first thing that's going to help us is this. The walking stick. Now, I think most people don't like using one of these. Is that true? Most people, at least initially. We don't like admitting that we need help, do we? We don't like asking people for help. We don't like looking like we need help from something or someone. We like to be independent, don't we? That's true of us as children. That's the phrase perhaps some of you have said or some of you have heard. I can do it. Independence. But that phrase we keep, don't we, all into adulthood and into later life. We like to hold on to. I can do it. There's an independence and a pride that we can have. Well, God is at work in these chapters of Exodus to help God's people see that actually they do need his help. And that's not a bad thing. To ask for his help, to lean upon him, is what they should do as his people. Have a look at verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at what it says. This is what God was doing. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Now, it sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? God allowed his people to go hungry. But then he provided food for them. And we're going to see that happen as we head through this section of Exodus. God also allowed his people to go thirsty. Now, being hungry and being thirsty aren't comfortable things, are they? They're not nice things. But it was part of what God was doing to show his people that they needed him. They needed to look to him for his provision. Remember where God's people were. They're in a wilderness at this time. There's no shops to go to for food. There's no tap to turn on for water. They would have been quite desperate. Would they turn to the Lord and ask him for help? Would they trust him that having rescued them, he would provide for them? Or would they be too proud? Or would they start to grumble against the Lord? And what we see in these verses is that as we see God providing, we see that what he provides is more than they could provide for themselves. Food and water miraculously in the wilderness. Notice verse 4. Clothes that didn't wear out. Feet that didn't swell during 40 years. Now I doubt many of you are wearing clothes today that are 40 years old. Some of us might be. I'm not going to say who looks like they do. But generally, clothes wear out, don't they? But this says the Lord was providing for his people, helping them, providing for them and helping them to depend upon him. Maybe that's something the Lord's been doing with you recently. Have you found yourself out of your depth, unsure of what's going to happen next, unsure how you're going to help yourself? Has the Lord been humbling you or us recently? Well, as we work our way through these chapters of Exodus, hopefully we'll see that we don't need to despair if the Lord does that to us. It will be hard. None of us likes being humbled. But with the Lord's help, we can know that he is here to provide for us, to help us, to give us the strength that we need to keep going. Let's learn that lesson, to lean upon the Lord. No one wants to leave, do they? That's a good sign. Secondly, I wonder if any of you have used these before. You ever used these before? L plates. You've seen these before. These are a big sign, aren't they, to those of us when we're on the road. that somebody is learning to drive. They've not passed their test yet. They're still learning. That's a warning to the other drivers on the road, isn't it? Most people read that as, well, I need to get in front of them as quickly as I can because they might be driving slowly. But actually it's a warning to stay back, to allow them to perhaps make mistakes. They're just learning. Well, this L plate helps us with what's going on in these chapters of Exodus. This is God's people and they're just learning. They're new as his people. He's just rescued them. There's a sense in which they've been birthed, if you like, through the Red Sea and now starting this new life as God's people. Just infants beginning to learn what it means to be God's people. Not that God's looking for them to be perfect so that he will save them. No, he's already saved them. He's rescued them already. But they now need to be taught what it means to be God's people, how to live as God's people, what that looks like or involves. And again, learning can be hard, can't it? Trying to do things we've not done before. One day, how many of you are looking forward to being back at school this week? That's teachers as well as children. Perhaps some of you were back last week. There's an element about school that's quite hard, isn't it? You're going to have to do new things, new situations. There might be tests to find out how you're getting on. Those things aren't that pleasant, are they? But actually, they are worth it in the end if we learn the lessons, if we make progress, if we move forwards. Look at what we read at the end of that section in Deuteronomy, verse 5. We read this, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." The word discipline sounds negative, doesn't it? And there's a sense in which it is, because it's a correcting. It's a putting back on the right path. It's perhaps sometimes saying, no, that's not right, it's this instead. And Moses tells us this is what's true of the Lord, and this is what he was doing through these chapters of Exodus. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Hebrews. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy, but turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7 says this. "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness." And verse 11, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it." Writer to the Hebrews points to family life and the role of parents and the role of disciplining, and actually it's a sign of love. Not to just let children do whatever they want to do, stick their hand in the fire, eat whenever they like, leave the house whenever they want to. No, those things wouldn't be safe or good for the children. So a parent's role, if they're loving their children, is to discipline, to correct, to put right. And the writer of the Hebrews says that's exactly what God does with us. He wants to train us, to develop us, to not leave us as we are, but to bring us on. And notice those two things the writer to the Hebrews says. It should lead to holiness in our lives. This is how God wants us to live, as we reflect him and show people what he is like. And it leads to righteousness in our lives and peace in our lives. Again, reflecting God and impacting our relationships with each other and with God. But that might be a painful process. And again, maybe you've known the Lord doing that in your lives at the moment. Things that have been hard, lessons that you've been learning, things the Lord has been putting his finger on. And as we work through Exodus, we should expect him to be doing that, just as he did to his people as they were in the wilderness. We're going to turn to our second Bible reading now, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, to help us understand what's going on in these chapters in Exodus. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to make reference all the way through to verse 14, I think. But Sam's going to come and read just verses 1 to 6. Is that all right, Sam, if you come forward? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll hear verses 1 to 6.
Warning against idols. I want you to remember, my brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors who followed Moses. They were all under the protection of the cloud and all passed safely through the Red Sea. In the cloud and in the sea, they were all baptized as followers of Moses. All ate the same spiritual bread, all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that went with them, and that rock was Christ himself. But even then, God was not pleased with most of them, and so their dead bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, all this is an example for us, to warn us to not desire evil things as they did.
So the next thing we're going to see, the next thing we can look out for as we work through these chapters in Exodus, is that God is using these examples to warn us. This is where the traffic cone comes in. Do you know what the sign means on this cone? This circle with the line going across it. Do you know what that means? No waiting, no parking, no stopping in your car. It's a warning. It's warning you that something might be happening here. That you mustn't stop in this place, because otherwise something could happen to you. You might be in the way, or your car might be in the way. Maybe they're about to come along and cut the trees along the road. And so they want to make sure there's no cars parked underneath the trees, because when they chop the branches, those branches are going to fall to the ground and they could land on your car. Maybe it's a warning that they're going to paint the lines along the road. And at the moment, there's no lines, but they're about to put double yellow lines down. Perhaps it's a warning that they might cheekily lift your car up and paint the lines underneath and drop it back down and you'll get a ticket on your car. A fine. These signs are warnings. And in the same way, says Paul, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, what we read of in the book of Exodus, particularly in this section, also pointing further into the book of Numbers as well, what we read of are some warnings not to make the same mistakes that they made. Look at what it says in verse 11, just a little bit further on from the bit that Sam read to us. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. As we read through these verses in the book of Exodus, we need to be seeing, where did they make mistakes? How might we make the same mistakes? Will we learn the lessons perhaps they didn't learn and not follow the path perhaps they took? As we read through Exodus, there'll be times where we need to say to ourselves, don't be like that. Don't do that. Let's see the warnings. And Paul warns us in these verses not to think that we're ever really secure, even as God's people, in terms of living the way God wants us to. It's a strong warning, isn't it? Verse 12, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Now, it's when we let our guard down, when we stop leaning on the Lord, when we stop remembering that we're still learning how to live as God's people, when we become perhaps overconfident or perhaps just start to drift, well, then danger comes in, doesn't it? That we might go off the way that God wants us to. We might be drawn elsewhere. Look at verse 13 if you've got the passage open. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, what happened to the Israelites back in Exodus all that time ago, the same kinds of things, particularly in terms of temptation, will happen to us. And we're just as vulnerable. So we must heed the warnings. That's our traffic cone. Just look, we'll just finish in this passage by looking at the beginning. Look at what it says at the start of 1 Corinthians 10 as well. Let's just pick that up too. Look at what he says. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They were God's people. They looked like God's people. They had the blessings of God's people. But they didn't make it into the promised land. That's a real warning to us, isn't it? Beware. Beware. Are we going to heed the warnings that we'll see in Exodus 16 to 24? Last one we've got up here, the last one left, is this doctor's kit. Now, I wonder what's in a doctor's kit. What kind of things do they need to do? Well, we've got used to these things, I guess, over the last year, in terms of injections or the drawing of blood. But it's this one, the broken one, actually. It's the one that I want to make use of today. There's something missing off the end, isn't there? What does this item do? Well, you'd stick it on your ears and you listen to things. And it should have a little round thing on the end that you can put on and listen. You might be listening for someone's breathing, what's going on in their lungs. You might be listening for their heart. Is their heart beating? Is it beating as it should? And the last thing we're going to see is that we need to check. As we read through and work our way through this passage in Exodus, we need to keep checking. Is our heart okay? Not our physical heart that we might use a stethoscope for, but our, if you like, spiritual heart, our desires, our inner self. What are we worshipping? What's our heart being drawn to? We need to keep checking. First of all, back in Deuteronomy, I think I've got the verse that will come up on the screen for us. In Deuteronomy 8, notice what was said then. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. What was going on in this portion of scripture with God's people was checking what's going on in their hearts. Are they trusting the Lord? Are they wanting to obey him? Do they love the Lord? Have they realized how good he is, how gracious he is, what he's done to rescue them, how he's provided for them already? Would they keep trusting him? Would they obey him in response? What was going on in their hearts? And the people had to learn obedience. There had to be opportunities to choose to obey the Lord. And again, we'll see that as we work our way through. Those opportunities would be given to them even when life was hard. Would they still trust the Lord in the hard times, or would they only follow the Lord in the good times? Were they fair weather believers? Or were they year-round followers? What was in their heart? Same idea is picked up in 1 Corinthians 10. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things, as they did. Things their hearts were drawn to worship instead of the Lord. Again, these things are written to warn us, to give us examples, to flag, be careful, be aware, keep checking what's going on with your heart. What's your heart set on? Are you seeking to please the Lord? Or please yourself or something or someone else? Yeah, the truth is, if our hearts are set on the Lord, actually that's where our hearts are safest. And we'll find most fulfillment in the Lord. All these other things will promise good things now, but ultimately they won't match up to what the Lord can offer us, both in this life and the next. So, four things as we work our way through these chapters together. Will we lean on the Lord? Learn from the Lord, hear the warnings of the Lord, and keep checking our hearts. Now, as I looked ahead to September, I was thinking this is a new chapter. It often is, isn't it? September, as we enter the new academic year, as we come out of the summer when things have perhaps slowed down a bit, and we head into when things start up again, whether that's school or whether that's church activities. And particularly this September, it feels like even more of a new chapter, doesn't it? As we hope, we might a little bit more come out of the lockdown restrictions that we've had. Even this morning, with us sitting slightly differently again. A new chapter beginning. And I was trying to work out what would be helpful for us as a church to look at as we move forwards together, as we enter this new chapter. What things do we need to remember or recall? And I was starting to write down a series that we could perhaps do. And Chris said, you know, Nigel, it's all in Exodus 16 to 24. All the things we'll need to know as God's people, to move forward as God's people, to hold on to be reminded of. It's all there. And he was right. It's not always right, but he was right. And that's our prayer as we head into these chapters together, that these four things would be true of us. Wouldn't that be wonderful over these next few months? If we learnt over the next few months to lean upon the Lord more, well, we might be more prayerful together, mightn't we? As we recognise we need him. We need his help. And we lean upon him, just as we lean on a walking stick. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we learnt things this term? Learnt new things about ourselves, about the Lord, what he expects of us. If we grew in our understanding, our knowledge, our love of God, that'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? Not just staying as we are, not drifting backwards, but growing, learning. Wouldn't it be great if we took notice of the warnings, that we didn't blunder into the same mistakes, get into the same trouble? If we took heed of the warnings and saw them and could see where they were in our lives. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we understood our hearts a bit more over the next few months? What's going on in our hearts? What idols are there around? What's enticing us away? What's causing us to not give our heart to the Lord as we should, to love him and obey him as he calls us to? That would be a real few months of growth, wouldn't it? As we hear God's word and are directed by God's word over the next few months. So shall we pray together that might be true of us? Whether it's us as adults here in the church building or the children out in Sunday Club, let's pray that the Lord would be at work in these ways for us. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you that you've given us your word, that we don't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from your mouth. And we have your word. And we pray, please, that as we turn to these chapters in Exodus, please would you be at work in our lives. Father, we surrender to you for humbling. We know that might be painful. That might be hard for us to do, but would you humble us where that needs to happen, that we might lean upon you more, not go forwards in our own strength, but depend upon you, and come to see that we can trust you and move forwards with you. Father, would we learn more things about you this term? Would we know more of what pleases you, how you want us to live as your people, how that might affect our relationships with each other and with those in our community? And Father, would we see and hear clearly the warnings in your words? Where your people went wrong in the past, where we're prone to go wrong today. Father, help us, show us, make it clear to us. And as we move along, please would you reveal to us what's going on in our hearts? Would we be humble enough to ask others around us to tell us what they see? Would we be humble enough to stop and slow down and think and look at our own hearts and understand the things that we're being drawn to worship instead of you? Father, in all these things, we pray that you'd be at work to shape us and to change us and to grow us as your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.